I'm excited about I don't know why I use the word excited, because I don't really get excited a lot. But what's the word I'm looking for? I'm definitely expecting something great. The next channel, the next thing. Let's stick with excited. Excited is a good word. Let's go with it. I'm excited to share this word with you. I believe it's the next phase of our journey. And what I'm believing for in this season, what I want you to believe for with me in this season, is this. The things that are, how many of you would agree that as a result of what you've been learning, there's been change in your life, there's a manifestation of things? I want to, in this season, by God's grace, start to pull together the practical and the spiritual a little closer. I want to, here's what I would like to do. I come to the realization from talking to people all the time that what has come common to some of us now, and some of you would agree and have said to me, is not common to everybody you meet from church. JCMI 101, you say that to them, and they're like, oh my God, you're mysterious and deep. And you're like, well, this is what we've come to learn as the truth. And the truth has made us free. We have an expectation now based on the truth that we've learned. It's changed your life. Some of you has changed your life externally. Some of you has changed your life just on the inside. But once that's changed, you start to see your externals a whole different way. So things that everybody else looks at as a problem, you step back and go, it's not a big deal. Now, here's what I want to try to bring to light today. The reality of the things that happen in the natural are not to be ignored as it's not real. So I don't accept it. It's real. Sometimes it's very real. You're listening to me? Because of your growth and your maturity, the way you respond to it is different. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you back in the day would have got a flat tire and get out and kick the car and mother effed and probably cuss God and everything because you got a flat. Now you just get out and change it and praise the Lord all the way through the process that I have a car to change the tire on and I have a spare tire in my car to put on it. You know, your perspective changes, which opens the door to you receiving your blessings. You don't find something that you don't look for. I'm not being deep. Asking, you receive. Seeking, you shall find. Knocking, the door shall be open. This is scriptural principle. You don't seek it, you don't find it. Well, I am seeking it. Well, I've had this conversation with people many times. You are seeking what? You know me. I'm the question and the answer man. You're seeking what? What to do? That's not seeking anything. I ask God what to do all the time. That's not seeking anything. Coming up to me and saying to me, so what should I do? It's not seeking. See, I just messed some of you up because that's how you pray. That's not seeking. What should I do is not seeking. What would be my next question? What should you do about what? What exactly is the issue? Then my next question would be, what have you attempted to do? See, that's where it gets quiet. What have you attempted to do? Because by processes of elimination, I can see if you're digging yourself in deeper or if you're coming out. What have you attempted to do? Well, I tried this, and what happened? It didn't work. So what did you do? I cried, and then I tried it again. But it didn't work the first time. But I prayed, and then I tried it again. Okay, and how long has it been? 5 years. So you've been praying and trying it again for 5 years, and it never occurred to you that maybe you should do something else. It just never clicked that maybe your answer is stop doing that. Yes? God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is true. This is where it says so. So say this with me. If I lack, it's only because I have not located my provision. That goes for me too. I have to, this season of my life has been very, very interesting and powerful for me. I'm going to tell you why. I'm starting to do a real assessment. Is anybody with me on this? A real self-assessment. How many of you are at that place of your life? Where you say, I'm really starting to really check out what I think I believe, what I know I believe, and really starting to weigh it. If you're not there yet, I'll ask you to join. Because there are things that we're so sure we believe that we don't grow in it. There's some things we don't even believe, but we have never thought the necessity to believe it, so we haven't changed it. Result, the same life. Now, maybe okay. I got a decent job. Got benefits now. I can pay my bills every week. Okay, you good with that? No, not really. Okay, then we need to do a real self-assessment. So for me, I'm doing a real serious self-assessment in this season of my life. I'm really looking at the things that I've learned and I've become strong in that has carried me and keeps me to the things that I really have not even explored or looked into. That the side, they say we only use 10% of our brain. I want to know what the other 15% might do, or another 10% might do, or another 5% might do. I'm speaking from spiritual perspective. If learning what we've learned in God has got us to the place that we don't respond like most church folk do, then what will learning a little bit more of that do for me? What's the next level of breakthrough beyond what we already know? So I know I pay my tithes because God blesses me when I pay my tithes. And I know, well, you know, I should at least come to church and fellowship at least, you know, three times a month. And I need to at least, you know, decide that, well, if I got a picnic, I may not come to church, but for a birthday party, I'll come. You know, I have to start to, come on, y'all. We have our guidelines of what we've deemed valuable or invaluable, whether we acknowledge it as a fact or not. What takes priority over me fellowshipping? Now, I ask people this question all the time. Does that same priority take over your job? No. Okay, so then we just decided by that you've deemed your job more important than your fellowship. You wouldn't miss work for that, but you'll miss church for that. Okay. Let's take it to another place. How much does it take for you to give? In other words, do you tithe what you're supposed to? And I call it tithe because it's not tithing if it's below the 10%. Do you give because you have the extra that you don't really need, right? I know people say, yeah, I bless people with these clothes I had. They've been in your closet for 10 years and you haven't worn them. Yeah, it may be a blessing, but let's be real. That wasn't a sacrificial offering. You got rid of something you didn't want. The title of today's message is The Great Exchange. What do we give to receive? Notice message is not about just tithe and offering. That will be part of it. But it's more about the heart and the condition of your heart before God. What do you give God? Do you give God what you have surplus of, what you have excess of, what you really don't care about? Or like the widow with her mite, do you give God your last? Are you willing to give God your last? What's the breaking point where you decide, okay, God, don't get this because I want to buy this and I got to pay for this? These are all the things. When you look at this process as we walk through it, you're going to see things like Jesus saying, the story about go out into the field and invite my people. And they came up with excuses. Well, I just bought a cow, which would be the equivalent. I just got a new car. I got to go get it registered. I was invited to this, and so they wouldn't come. I just got married. I just married a wife. I just got a field. I got to tend to it. Let me stay and bury my mother and father. These are all the things that begin to show them and to show have Jesus show them. So your commitment in your heart, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. So he begins to show, I love you and I take care of you, but the destiny that I've called you to and the lack that exists in your life is because you have things that you deem more valuable. And as long as you deem those things more valuable, you have to depend on those things when you want in that area. If there's anywhere in my life that my love for God is trumped by something else, then when I have a need, I have to depend on that thing. Not because God's going, well, I'm not going to do nothing. But you've put the value there. So you have to reap from there. Well, if this is tight or I just want to go on this trip, so I decided not to tithe. Okay, well, then when you want to receive a harvest, you better call Bermuda. Because that's what you deemed more important. The balance is, he who keeps his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall gain that life and eternal life to come. So we're in the game of exchanging, winning and losing. But the losing is not a loss by defeat, but a loss by decision. That one more time. It's not a loss by defeat. You lost it because you never really surrendered to God and Satan ran up on you and pimp slapped you at the back of your head and took it from you. Or you lost it because you chose to lose it and surrender it to God that you may receive from him the greater value of it. The disciples had a conversation with Jesus one time. We're going to go through all of this. And the disciples said to Jesus at one point, no, the rich young ruler? You know the story? The rich young ruler shows up in the middle of the night, sneaking up in there, says, hey, good master, why are you calling me good? Jesus says to him, you know only God is good. What's your point? He started asking Jesus questions. I've done this and I've done that. I've done good and I've always tithed for my youth. Jesus told him, well, you know what the word says. Yeah, of course I do. I do all of that. Now, make sure you understand it. Jesus says, you know the word, honor your mother and father, God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And his response to Jesus was, from my youth, I've done that. Go back to the piety meaning of worship that we just learned and finished up last week. Yeah, I've done that my whole life. And the script said Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you lying, deceitful, which he's done to people. Jesus was very well known for saying, you filthy. No, he told him straight up. No, he looked at him and he loved him. And Jesus says, that you've done. Listening to me? And with the right heart and everything. But one thing you lack. And I can see him right now, like, don't say my stuff, don't say my stuff, don't say my stuff, don't say my stuff. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, and follow me. And the scripture said, and he was broken because he had many possessions. It took me a long time of giving and sowing and loving God with my heart, soul, mind, and strength to get all of this stuff. I've done all the right religious stuff to be here. And you're saying that this is what I lack, but I got this from doing that. Didn't I? I'm a blessed man because, you know, Deuteronomy 28, Jesus, you know, blessed coming and blessed going out and all this stuff. Like, sell what I have? Come on, we're talking about that word worship again, aren't we? Total surrender. Sell what I have? Now, some of you are sitting right here right now probably going, I ain't got that much to sell. This is why. I'm going to help you understand why. Sell what I have. And he said he went away sad. He walked away without receiving that next level from Jesus because he wasn't willing to let go of his stuff. Now, understand this. And I need you to understand this. I need you to understand this Nicodemus story really, 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 really good. Jesus didn't go find Nicodemus. Nicodemus came looking for Jesus. At night, by the way. Nick at night. He came looking for Jesus in the night because he didn't want the other great leaders of which he was a part of to know that he was going to go speak to Jesus. But he went to Jesus. That's number one. So if he went looking for Jesus, even though he had great possessions, even though he had the good life, even though he was looked at as royalty among the leaders of the synagogues and stuff, he obviously felt something was missing. So he went to ask him, okay, I got everything. What do I lack? Jesus responds like Jesus does all the time if you listen close. You ready? He'll answer you with what you've already decided. Did I miss anybody? Did? I love when I do that. Then I get to reel you in. When you've already decided you're righteous, that your walk is what it's supposed to be and everything you think it is, and you go to God with that attitude, he'll respond to you exactly that way. You know, the good Christian stuff you always do. You know, that's what it is, right? Amen. But you don't stop to say, but then why am I here? If my walk is so right, if my life is so holy, if I am so perfect in my Christianity, why am I feeling this void and why do I feel the need to be here asking you what's next? People come to me, I went to the Lord, the Lord told me I was doing the right thing. I was like, okay. So did that solve everything? Well, no, not really. Maybe you need to go back again. He was being a wise guy. Because God will do that. He said, well, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear because I know what you've already decided. You can remember, you can think about some of the times now, right? Oh, I thought God was agreeing with me. Yeah, he was going along with your game. You already came to me with your opinion of how right you are. So I'm just going to confirm, which he did with Nicodemus. Well, you know, Nick, you know, keep the commandments, you know, first, second. Yeah. He probably looked at the disciples and said, you see what I'm saying? I've been doing that. You said, yeah, you absolutely have. You're lacking one thing. See, now that's messed up, the way Jesus did that. But you're lacking one thing. Oh, okay, one thing, yeah. One thing. One thing. Out of 10 commandments, I'm only lacking one. You heard that? I lack one thing. Go ahead, Jesus. What's that one thing? Sell everything. Oh, hold up. Wait a minute. I just said one thing. Yeah, that one thing is sell everything. Wow. Now his eyes are open. He went away sad. You listening? The disciples now concerned about the statement, convicted, even though he didn't say anything to them. See, these are things you have to pay attention to. These are people. You need to get a little still over here. It distracted me. They're now concerned because Jesus said something to this guy, not to them. You know, sometimes I may give a word to somebody and you know it was for you too, but you try to say to yourself, well, he didn't say it to me, so therefore I'm going to act like it wasn't for me. Yeah, those moments. Those moments. You know those moments, right? Okay. Or I'll ask, you know, how many of you are dealing with this? And there's a couple of you will go like, I'm not going to put my hand up because I don't think I'm dealing with that. I know it is, but I'm not going to just acknowledge it. If he don't point me out, I'm not ever owning it. That's fine. Now, here's the thing. The disciples troubled by what Jesus said. And I love this statement. They were troubled by it. Why were they troubled by it? Because everybody likes to paint the disciples as this poor ragtag bunch of people that didn't have houses and places to live and wife and kids and nobody who loved them that were bums that just roaming around with Jesus. Right? Well, the disciples were bothered by that statement, which would let me believe that they weren't what people try to paint them as. All of them were businessmen. They had fishing businesses. They had carpentry businesses. They had lives. Some of them had families. All of a sudden, they said, hold up, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. Then we're going to make sure, okay, so wait a minute. We just want to make sure we qualify for what he walked away from. They brought it up. Wait, Jesus, me and the guys were talking, and we left everything. And Jesus responded, nobody will leave anything for the kingdom's sake or give up anything for the kingdom's sake without receiving a hundredfold return in this life and eternal life to come. So he's saying the value of surrender is a hundredfold return and eternal life in the kingdom. Yes. Yes. The value of surrender. Now, let's go back to my thorough internal investigation. What am I not giving up? Notice I'm saying me and not you. I'm doing that thing that Jesus do. I'm going to talk about me and let it affect you how it needs to. What am I not giving up? I ain't never seen so many eyes drop down before, ever. I don't know if that's because you're in thought or you're trying to act like I'm not talking to you. What am I not giving up? What is the thing that Jesus is going to say to me? Yeah, you're a good dude. But what, there is one thing you lack. There is something in your life that don't belong to me. And as a result of that, I can't give you a hundredfold return because of that thing. Have you ever met a person that in every conversation they need to win? They got to be right. Can't be wrong. Do you realize how that person is robbed of any information, insight, or ability to grow in that area of their life? Why? They're not teachable, which means they're not surrendered in the area of learning. They're not willing to let go of what they have so that they can get what they need. They can't get a hundredfold return in that area, because they believe they already know. So you meet these people, be it in theater or whatever, who they've been doing the same thing for 15 years, waiting for some break to come. That's never going to happen because there's been no change. There's been no growth. There's been no maturity. They have not been able to surrender what they've learned. So even when they go before God in prayer, they say before God, this part I'm good with. But if you would just bless this. And God's like, yeah, but I need that. But I want that. I want you to surrender that. And the statement that would never leave my mind, if I give that away, then what do I have? Never will forget that. That was such a bookmark revelation for me, that you were honest to say that. Wow. I said, you know, I've never had nobody say that to me. But that's a real state. It's a real place. You're asking me to give away the thing that I've put value and my stability in. I've put my faith and rested my belief on who I am, on my heart protection, on my sense of self-worth in this moment, and you're asking me to give it away, and I feel like if I give that away, I have nothing. Yet with it, you don't have sufficiency at all. You're unhappy with it, like Nicodemus was. With all of his success and all of his position and all of his possessions. I know he was unhappy, because when Jesus said that, he walked away sad. He walked away sad. He walked away without what he came for. It's a rough place. Are you learning something already? So, during the course of this message, I want to talk about giving beyond just somebody saying tithes and offerings and money and stuff. It's way more to it than money. It's way more to it than a tithe. It's way more to it than what the religious crowd would try to like push as the thought of thoughts. Go to the book of James chapter 1. And we're going to do a little scripture bouncing, which we've already started doing. But I just want to just get a few things there in. Go straight to verse 5. You there? If any of you, who's that include? Anybody. Lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance. I'm reading from the Amplified. He is to ask our benevolent God. I love the Amplified for this one, because it said, if you lack wisdom to guide you through a decision or circumstance, you are to ask our benevolent. Who knows the meaning of benevolent? Feel free to speak it out. Given. Some of you saying, I don't really know. Well, the word bena is in there, which is a Greek word, and it's good, benefit, beneficial, benign tumor. All of the word bena is a prefix for good. So you hear that in beneficial, beneficiary. Mal is the opposite, is negative. So if the tumor is malignant, it's bad. Malnutrition, all those kind of things. Bena is good. So he's benevolent. That means his personality and his demeanor and everything about him is good. That's a benevolent person. Helpful. Dependable. Benevolent. Our benevolent God. Somebody say, good God. Real good God. Okay. Now, it's going to break down his benevolency, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, it is given to him. So, before we go to it, but you must ask in faith, that's not where I'm going. I've got one verse that I want you to focus on today, and that's this one, the one we just read. If you lack wisdom or direction, you should ask our generous, loving, good God, who does what? He gives to everyone generously. Everyone. And then say, just the Christians. And without what? It will be given to him. So here's the first thing we realize about God. If I lack wisdom or direction, like Nicodemus did, I can go to him. And he will give you wisdom without telling you all your sins. If you lack wisdom, ask God, and it will be given to you generously without fault finding. But didn't he point out Nicodemus's fault? No. No. He said one thing you lack. If you come to me and say, I've been going to my bank account. I know you gave me some money. I've been trying to get the money out. And it's not happening. And I say to you, it's one thing you lack. The PIN number. You need the PIN number to get it out. That's not me pointing out your fault. That's me pointing out what you lack. You don't have the right combination to make this work for you. So him saying to Nicodemus, the thing you lack is you need to give all you have. He wasn't pointing out his fault. He was showing him what he lacked. Did you catch that? God won't find fault with you. And here's what I mean. When you come to God and say, God, I'm stuck in this place and I need out. And then you're coming to me saying, I believe the Lord is trying to tell me because the sin is in my life and the pride is in there and the evil is in there and I didn't brush my teeth this morning and all this kind of stuff that you'll start making up as God chewing you out. I submit to you, that's your own flesh or the enemy. Scripture says he'll give you the wisdom if you ask for wisdom. Now, if you don't, you may catch some of that. Bam, right upside your head. That's called judgment. But if you come into God, are you listening to me? Asking him for wisdom and direction, he's never going to sit down and say, well, let me, I'm going to tell you why I'm helping you, and let me just tell you what's wrong with you, and let me tell you what I don't like about you. So if you hear that voice, rebuke it. It's not God. He is not going to tell you all the things you did wrong before. Here's what he's going to say. So you want out now. Isn't that what he did with the prodigal son? The prodigal son came back and said, oh, Father, I've sinned before you. Just say, I'll hug him and put the ring and stuff on. You're home. Let's have a party. Right? He didn't sit there and say, yeah, you know, I knew your trifling behind was going to go, okay, I messed this money up. Now here you come back. Now you want to come back to my house. Well, let me tell you what you're going to do. No, he did not. Come on home. My son was dead. Now he's alive. Let's have a party. When you come to God with the lack of information about something, he's going to say, okay, you've been a numbskull up to this point, but you're now deciding that you want the information. I'm here to freely give it to you and lovingly. Amen. But I'm going to show you what you lack. I'm going to show you why it's not working. And then you got to decide from that point if you want to take that and make the change or you want to walk away heartbroken without it. But I'm going to point it out. Never has that ever been so apparent without giving any details or situations than in marriage counseling. Oh, my God. Okay, here's what you lack. Okay, well, go back home and do what you've been doing. You came to me. I didn't come to you and say, I got a word about your marriage. You came to me crying, upset, saying it's falling apart. I'm telling you what the Spirit is giving me, and you, well, what about him? Okay, we're going to get to him. Can at least get you to commit. Because if I tell him what to do, or vice versa, I tell her what to do, and you're not willing to do what you need to do, then what she needs to do winds up being wasted. And a lot of people don't even leave sad. They leave sad and mad. Can't believe he said that. He taking his side. He taking her side. Okay, well, go keep your side. Take your side and go back home with it. Next time you call me, I'm going to pick right where I left off. I'm not going to change the story because you looked mad last time you left and didn't come for 3 weeks. So good. You don't ever come back again. That's good, too. It's one less person I got to counsel. Boy, that's I heard the air come out. That went right home, huh? Okay. Somebody identifies. I felt healing in that. It's like it all came out. And that was a reluctant amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. By the way, I wasn't talking about you, but it's one of those things that you knew. It landed. Bliff. God is good. That's why I like a small house. We can have these real moments. So now, we're talking about I'm willing to be redirected if I'm asking for help. I'm willing to be redirected. I have people who come to me and they give me their what they believe is their leading or their insight or their belief from the Lord. And I can tell at times, well, usually most of the time, let me just say all the time, sometimes where God started and you picked it up, or when if it's just your emotion, I can tell. Case in point, Sister Linda Ray. She pulled me aside a couple of weeks ago. She had a word for me. She pulled me in the back. And she disclaimed. She said, I want to say something to you. She said, now I know when I would go to Pastor Jerome with things like this, I would be met with resistance. So I want to share something with you. And I said, okay, so she's prepared herself for me to fight her. But that's not where I come from. I stood, I listened to what she said, and I have this ability, thank God, to silence all opinion and point of view to I hear. And she said it, and I said, I received that. I don't disagree with you at all. I don't have a problem with it. And then she leaned forward in her way and said, believing it and doing it is two different things. And she dropped the mic and she walked out. No, she didn't walk out, but that was a drop the mic moment. That was it. She said, I didn't say you didn't receive it. There's a difference between receiving it and doing it. Selah. Amen. Correction received. And I immediately went forward to do exactly what you said. My spirit bore witness. But I have to move what I know and understand. Hear me close. I agreed with everything she said. There was no disagreement. God didn't send her in there to see if I agreed or not. He wanted to know when I was going to do it. See, I'm going to talk. You don't want to talk. Because church people are like, amen, hallelujah, amen. Okay, so you've done it. I'm getting to it. Hallelujah, in the Lord's timing. This timing was when he told you. He told you that's the timing. You got a different clock than God's? He told you. Now faith is the substance of the thing. Now. So when I get a word from somebody that bears witness with my spirit, I act on it immediately. And acting on it means at times I got to lay down something that I presently hold as a foundation or dear to my heart. Some people are more comfortable giving down their finances and tithes than surrendering their opinions. They'll pay the tithes, but doggone it, don't correct me. I'm correct. I pay my tithes and stuff. I'm correct. Okay, but that's what Nicodemus said. I've done that for my youth. I pay more than 10%, okay? Well, so do I. But she had a word of correction for me. In all the good preaching I do, and the phenomenal revelations that I give, and the way God uses me to change so many lives, mattered not one second at that moment. Ooh, you're quiet. That moment was a moment of soul searching and correction for me. And it wasn't even a big thing. It wasn't like, you know, the Lord told me you were in sin and cheating on your wife. It was nothing even that big. It was about my health and what I needed to do and get away and take a vacation and do something. And it was, you know, for my benefit. But me, I wait forever and ever and ever before I go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to stop messing with me. But it's true. It's true. Hold me to it. I hold you to it. Hold me to it. You have a mission. But my heart, like I said, no, I agree with her. Amen. So it was like, okay, so when you doing it? Oh. I can agree for the next 10 years and never do nothing. Say that again. I can agree with the word for 10 years and never do what it says. I can bear witness with it forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And still never do it. Forgive. You're right, Lord. You're right. Hallelujah. I need to forgive him. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. In your time, mm-hmm, I receive it. Mm-hmm. So when you going to do it? When I see him again, I'm going to forgive him. And then you avoid him for the next 10 years. No. Forgive right now, right here, without them. Now, I'm not telling you to run around and say, okay, I'm going to just go forgive. But there's people that God specifically checks you. Forgive. Let them go. I didn't say go be their friend. I didn't say go have dinner with them. I just release them. Let them go. Hold them. No charge against them. Let them go. When you gonna do it? No, I'm not arguing with you, God. I agree. I need to forgive. We all need to forgive. Oh, now you want to make it about we all. Talking to you. When you gonna forgive? You came, you asked me for wisdom and guidance and directions in your situations and circumstances. I'm going to show you what you lack, he said. Show you what you lack. I won't judge you. I won't condemn you. But I will show you what's lacking. The word that was given to me about the medication was, okay, so you're taking the medication for the 2 weeks. You stop and everything changed. Hallelujah, I'm healed in Jesus' name. But what change did you make in your life to make that not a reality anymore? You believed, you received, and then you went right back to whatever you did. Now, I thought it was eating. So, wow, I could cut the salt. I'm eating good. What are you talking about? I'm eating good. When the word was brought to me that I was had stress, high levels of stress, or stress on me, and I needed to be delivered from stress, my reaction was, no, I don't. And my inside self, I was like, I ain't stressed. No, listen to me. It wasn't me being stubborn. It wasn't me being arrogant. It was me managing stress on that level for so long that it didn't seem like stress to me. It was just life. In my mind, I didn't perceive that. You mean there's something less than this? Because I'm thinking I got my life too easy as it is. I don't really, I'm stressed. And that's why the word from Sister Linda was spot on target because, right, get away from me, I'll go 10 years without a vacation. My logic was I live in the Poconos. That's where people come for vacations. I don't need to go nowhere for vacation. I live in a vacation place. This is where people come for vacation. I live in vacation. No, that's your home. That's where you live. That's where you work. That's not your vacation. It's their vacation because they're getting away from where they live. So I knew the word was accurate, but I didn't relate to me being under stress. Because from where I was sitting, what I was doing was normal. That wasn't stress. I've been doing this my whole life. How's the stress now? Are y'all listening to me? There's things you're doing that you've been doing for so long, it's become such a part of you. It could be sin, it could be anything, but it's so normal and you've gotten away with it without judgment for so long that you don't like, so what's wrong with it? But what's wrong with it? I don't understand. I mean, oh my God, obviously you ain't judged me yet, so I guess it ain't wrong. Well, you didn't have to judge me. My blood pressure did. My health did. So what you're saying to me is, I'm stressed. Well, I had to step back in myself. I had to not do the Nicodemus. No, I said, I work. I love my work. I love my life. I ain't stressed. I had to step back and look and go, yeah, my spirit bears witness that I'm juggling, keep 4 or 5 balls in the air at a time, consistently, even when I'm sleeping. When I'm sleeping, I'm trying to solve problems. In my dreams, I'm trying to, somebody other than me relating to this? In my dreams, I'm trying to figure out how to make things work. Getting frustrated in my dreams because the dream won't do what I'm trying to do. And I stopped and stepped back and said, wow, God, I have to release again. I have to release another area of my life that I didn't ever own. This one thing I lack. This one thing you lack. I've been eating right, doing everything I know to do, and I see certain parts of me coming down, but right around here just not coming. And I'm like, God, I used to drop weight like this. I know if I eat any right, I'm gonna look like I'm like in the starvation country. Like, what else do I need to do? And God's showing me now through my study and looking. Yeah, through the stress, the cortisol levels in your body are so high. That's why your pressure's up, and that's where that layer of fat around your gut comes from. It ain't gonna go this time from jogging or eating. There's something else affecting you. Something that I didn't think was a problem. I went to God for wisdom, for direction. You're doing a good job. But this one thing you lack. The great exchange for this part, one of this message is this. What is the thing you lack? Go before God. And don't go before God telling him what you need and telling him what you got. Say, God, this obviously is not working. And I've tried everything to figure it out, and I haven't figured it out. What do I lack? And don't make up a bunch of stuff. Like, so you come to me telling me God showed you all these sins in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, 90% of that, I'm going to throw that as garbage. Because you think you come back and you talk pitiful and talk about all the things that God told you was wrong with you, makes you spiritual. It does not make you spiritual. It goes against the scripture. It makes you putting God in your mind still and you judging yourself the way you think God should judge you. Quiet again. God doesn't need your help. He just needs your obedience. And he may point out the simplest thing. To have Sister Linda pull me aside and say, you need to go on vacation and you need to listen to your wife and you need to go do. No, I'm not disagreeing with her. I agree with her. So when you're going to do it? Oh. Because in my mind, I was going to do it eventually. Maybe 3 years, 4 years from now, but I was going to do it. No, you need to do it now. So I've been looking. I've been online looking for things to do. And I speak to my granddaughter last night, and she said, and she just out of nowhere, she just said, so when the next vacation you going on? Where's the next trip you going? What's your next destination? Out of nowhere. I called her to say happy birthday. When's your next vacation? Where are you going? What's she talking about vacation for? I didn't call her about that. I said, Linda Ray part two, here we go. I said, well, I haven't really planned yet. I'm just looking for some things. You know, we was thinking about going. We're going to Virginia for a while for Mocha's graduation. And then she said, you need to go to Bali. Okay. What's that? So I said to her, where you live? Because I thought she was trying to do Cali, and it just misspelled it. So I think she's saying, come to Cali, right? She said, no, Bali. And then she sends me udon, however you pronounce it, in Bali, this place with nothing but statues and everything and water. And I'm like, I don't have no internet or nothing over there. I want to go over there. You know? it's just sitting around watching waterfall all day. It's only so much of that a brother could take. And the Lord was like, you said you want to go outside of the U.S. I've sent you a place. Look at it. So I've been up all night researching Bali. Places to go, things to do, you know, just looking at it. And I said to my wife, okay, it's Bali. I'm going to Bali. I don't know when, but soon. We're setting it up. So that's what I did last night. Again, obedience. Okay, I know you agree. But when? I know you bear witness, amen. Look at me. But when? I know you received the Lord, hallelujah, shamalala, lama, ding dong. I got it. But when? When do we obey the word? When do we let God fix that one thing we lack? For right now. There'll be others. But for now, he just wants to fix the one thing. When do you do it? I remember I told you stop messing with a certain person. Stop trying to help them. You bore witness. Hallelujah. Amen. But it took a couple of 2 years before you actually made the transition. You let them wear you down for another couple of years before you finally let them go. Like, just when? Stop saying yes, hallelujah, amen. Now, when do you want it? When do you receive it? I tell you, I always come and tell them myself. Because I come to the realization that we'll say amen to a lot of things, yes and so be it, and then we won't cooperate. And we don't understand that we once you say yes and amen, and then you don't do it, now you're in disobedience. Before you were in ignorance, now you're in disobedience. It's been exposed. Now you know. Everybody in this room right now, in the sound of my voice, without asking you, and I won't, has a something that's in front of you right now that God has pointed out as that one thing that needs to be fixed. And either you try to divert him by throwing counter scripture at him and pray lawyer with him. You know what I mean when I say that? You know? Who don't know what I'm talking about? You try to play lawyer. You try to use scripture. You try to counter argue God with scripture. Like when God told me to quit my job back in the day when I had a job and it was my first real good paying job. And I said, Lord, the word says he don't take care of his family is worse than the infidel. I can't quit my job. I try to corner God. Checkmate. In your face. God, all right. Stay there. So everything fell apart and I had to go running out of there screaming on fire almost. Now I receive it. Some of you are right here. I'll come to tell you a word. And I already know, the butt cheeks going to tighten up. Your teeth gonna clench. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm already doing that. Amen. The Lord already, that confirms what God already told me. It does? Yeah. So why haven't you done it yet? Okay. So God will say to me, don't say nothing else to them. Leave them right there in their stew. They'll be back. And when they come back, you're going to say the same thing again. I said, God, they're going to say, I know again. He said, fine. And they'll stay there for another. They'll go around that mountain another 40 years. But when they come back, you will only say the same thing. And that one thing that you think don't have much to do with anything else is stopping your life from going forward. You don't see how it's associated, but it's associated. Not punishment. It's just that one thing that thou lack. Ooh, it's quiet in here right now. Are you being spoken to? Are you judging yourself that you be not judged?
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. But you'll grow from it. Or you could walk away sad and hold on to what you got. Because the end of that story is the most powerful thing. Because when the disciples came to Jesus and said, but we've given anything, he said, but nobody's given anything in this life that they won't receive a hundredfold return in this life. So let me end it on this note. Nicodemus walked away sad. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He walked away sad because he thought Jesus was trying to take something from him. Jesus was trying to get 100 times more of it to him. He said it to the disciples. I was trying to increase him 100-fold. He was so comfortable in it with his one-time flip that he didn't even understand what I was trying to do right here. He walked away. He kept what he had. But Jesus was trying to give him 100 times more. What are you keeping? Everybody in this room that's keeping Jesus from giving you 100 times more. Amen.